To Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast today. We are getting this show in as soon as we can and as often as we can. Sometimes I get these shows recorded and I just don't get them out there until like 2 or 3 days later. I'm hoping I can get this one out to you soon enough, but we are excited about what's been going on. Let me tell you about something amazing that happened in our recording room, our studio room that we're using for the television. We are on the air in Augusta, in Georgia, South Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia. And we are currently broadcasting our show, Ignite Your Day, and that's a television show. It's a 28-30 format, 30-minute format, and you can watch that any Monday through Friday at 10:30 Eastern Time on Watchman Broadcasting, WBPI.org. And you go to the Harvest Now channel. We're on their second channel, and it's the Harvest Now channel. And we head up the 10:30 slot, and we have been getting some good response. We have been getting some letters and some gifts coming in as well, which is always a blessing. And, you know, when you start something like this, you don't know what exactly to do as far as putting all this together. I've put together many, many television shows, and I've done many, many interviews. And in fact, this segment, our second segment of the show, I'm going to have a very special, special guest that I interviewed, and I'm going to tell you who that is in a minute. And it's 2014, and it's a very powerful teaching on leadership and courage and faith. And I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But you never know what you're going to do. You never know how things are going to end up. My wife will tell you, and she listens to the program, so I got to be good. I can't joke around too much about her. But if you're in the sermon circuit and you see me, you'll hear me say a few extra jokes because she's not always at every preaching event. But anyway, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how it's going to happen. You just have a desire in your heart to do something. It's something that is put by God, I can tell you that. Because if it wasn't put by God, you wouldn't let it go. I mean, you would let it go. I don't let it go. There was a desire in my heart to do video. Oh my goodness. Ever since I was a young lad, I wanted to be a movie director. And I always wanted to be in television. And I'll tell you that long story on another broadcast. I would do it today, but we have a special guest coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And I just want to encourage you with this. You don't know what God is doing. Many times I've picked up the camera and I've shot some good shows and I've shot some bad shows. I get to the editing system that we had and whatever I had at the time, and the two couldn't gel. Either I had the good camera and the bad computer, or I've had the bad computer and the good camera, or I've had bad talent myself. It's a development. But I got to tell you, I didn't give up. I kept pushing it forward. Radio I've always done. I've been doing radio since, my goodness, since I was about 18 years old. I've been doing radio, went to broadcasting school. Not on purpose. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost. I wasn't planning to talk about this. Not on purpose. I was going for a television program and to become a television broadcaster, and they did a switcheroo on me. The television school was canceled. I went to Columbia Broadcasting School. And they canceled the television school, and they put me in the radio school, which I could have said no, but I said, you know, I might as well. I've got the money, and it's going to pay for the whole 2 years. I don't have to pay anything, actually. The Pell Grant or the grant that they got me actually paid for it, and versus just paying for one semester of television. So anyway, in that way, I started doing this and broadcasting on the radio. Never really used it till I got out of the military, and I was in California one day, and I was on the air broadcasting through an online system, and God showed me that I could do the same thing. I knew everything. I learned it a long time ago, and I just had to add the digital part to my audio, to the part that I had, the linear part. So anyway, I put the two together and built Rev Media TV, Rev Media Network. Got a lot of hosts. In fact, one of the hosts just checked up on me probably 2 days ago checking if I still use his programs, which we don't. We used to broadcast, 10 to a dozen people, at least a dozen different ministers, different programs, and we built a station online. We kept going, but it's a dream to have television. It was a dream to do it, but I was doing radio. I never got to the television part, but that radio got me in front of our special guest that you're going to have in a few minutes. But what I'm saying is there's a gift that is in you that God says in 1 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. There's an anointing that has been put on you. There is a gift in you. And when you stir it up is when you do stuff and you just don't feel like it. When you stir it up is when you need something to happen and it's not happening. That is stirring up the gift and saying, God, I'm going to create faith in this. God, I'm going to create anointing in this. And God lets that gift flow. Now, I've built 1, 2, 3, 4 television sets. Six television sets if you include the current one that I'm sitting in right now and using it for the radio room today. I've created at least 6 of them. And I tell you what, I never used 5 of them. I never used 5 of them. Why? Because it just wasn't time. But I will not ever give up that knowledge that I learned. That knowledge that I put together, just like the radio school gave me the knowledge of radio, that when it was time to do radio, I just jumped on and I was doing it. It all came back. It all worked. I just had to go from analog to digital and understood that well because I was always good with computers and understood the editing as well. And so that's what God used that for. But then there's me building these sets and never, ever putting any of these TV sets on the air except for online. But let me tell you today, today, praise God, we are online. You can go to davidyanisministries.com to find the link to watch our shows online on Harvest Now. I purposely have not put them online to broadcast on our network, Revenue TV, or on any other place yet because I have some other contracts I'm working on to get these aired somewhere else first. And that's all I'm going to tell you about that. But let me tell you, it's been a joy. I did my 50th show. Television 50. So for those that didn't know it, I've been recording television for this since this whole thing happened with this. We got home from Hawaii in the start of this coronavirus lockdown, and I have been doing shows every week, and I've gotten 50 shows put together. And on the 50th show, I got to tell you this before we go to my guest. On the 50th show, let me tell you, the anointing came onto me when I was walking to my studio room to change because I was using the bigger area room to do my show. And the anointing came on me like I was about to go preach in a crusade, not just a sermon, but in a place where the anointing and healing ministry was just going to move and operate strongly. I felt it. And guess what happened? I changed, of course, got on the set. And when I got on the set, I'm on the 49th show. And I start seeing a cloud coming in. And on the 50th show, I have a picture. You can watch the broadcast next week. It'll broadcast on Wednesday next week. And it showed the cloud of glory in the conference room I was using for my set. It showed this cloud descending over me. Thank the Lord it did not go over the camera. If you watch the show next week, the 50th show, if you watch it next week, you're gonna see the different places in around the world that this cloud has come in, even when I'm taking pictures afterwards. And I got to tell you this. I have to say this. It is an honor. It is a privilege to finally do television like I want to do television. I think it took about 50 shows for me to get my groove down. But I had it around 30 and 40. And I really felt we changed some of the format. It sounds really good. I teach in 2 good segments of teaching. And then I have, of course, pictures and video doing those segments as well if I refer to something. But on the third segment, I do Igniter of Faith session. I'm basically standing there by a television like a sportscaster and telling you of God's wondrous works and showing you pictures and videos. I even have interviews that I bring in, some fresh interviews that I bring in to encourage your faith. And I got to say, not only did the cloud come in, but as I'm sitting there and doing the 50th show oil, I smell the frankincense oil. And I don't know where it's coming from. I just smell a strong scent of oil around me as I'm preaching on the show. as I'm teaching on the show. And it wasn't anything like major, powerful teaching. It was just a simple teaching on faith. It was just simple, but it was something that God was anointing and blessing. Well, I'm just going to get you encouraged about that. I'm just going to get you encouraged that God is doing some amazing things. Don't ever look at life and say it's never going to happen. Pick your hands up and thank him, because it's going to happen. In his time and in his season, we need to persevere. The next guest is coming up, Dr. Miles Monroe. Before he passed away, we had this interview in February, the year he passed away. He passed away in the fall. He encouraged me, and he just said, "You're going to make it to the top one day, son. I know it. I know it." It's a blessing when other men of God of faith encourage you and say, "Just hold on a little longer. You're right there. You're right there. You're going to be blessed. You're going to do great things. Just hold on." And I say the same things to you, my friends. God bless you. Listen to this next segment of Dr. Miles Monroe. Thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev with your host, David Yanez. We pray that you continually tune in to get blessed and for God to do something amazing in your life. Visit us online at davidyanezministries.com or write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. God bless you, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez. I'm here with Dr. Miles Monroe. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. Good to be with you, David.
This is my highlight. This is my highlight of the NRB.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed last night.
Thank you.
Doctor, tell them where you were last night and how important that was to you personally.
You know, first of all, I want to say that it's fantastic to be invited to speak to one of the historic black universities in the United States. I understand that I was following in the footsteps of people like Martin Luther King Jr. and Mr. Du Bois and some of the historic figures who stood on that same stage and spoke.
Amen.
And I was invited to speak to the faculty, the staff. Of course, the president was present, as well as the students of that great school, university here in Nashville, Tennessee. And they invited me to be their special guest speaker at the... this is the, I think, the month in the United States where they celebrate
Black History Month.
Black History Month. And it was my first time being there. And they invited me to speak on the subject of character and leadership. Mm. I thought it was very significant because that school has produced some of the great leaders in the United States. They came from that school. And, of course, when we talk about leadership, being able to stand on that stage and to address those people was very humbling to me. And then the response of a standing ovation last night was...
Wow, I think it was three-time standing ovation. They just didn't want to let you go. They're just so...
I was humbled by that all. But it was a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to return. The president invited me to come back again and to do some sessions with the students.
I tell you, when I was hearing you speak last night, I can feel the authority in the air that
Thank you.
On teaching character and teaching leadership. And obviously, it's your new book, The Power of Character and Leadership. Tell us, how important is finding the leadership in each of us?
Well, first of all, it took me 40 years to write this book.
Wow.
Because you can write about any subject.
Yes.
But when it comes to character, you don't write it as a subject. You have to write it as a life.
Mm.
You have to live character before you can even attempt to document it. And so this book has been my most important book. I have over 42 books on leadership. But this one is my most important one because this is the missing link in leadership. I have studied leadership as a professional communicator. It's my area of consultancy with governments.
Okay.
I have read over 272 books on leadership, but I couldn't find any book that dealt with this issue of character. And I think it's because most individuals fail in this area to the point where they're afraid to write on it.
Yep.
But yet, in my view, it is the most important principle of leadership because character protects everything else in your leadership.
Hmm.
Most organizations or institutions or colleges or universities, when they offer leadership courses, they focus on things like management principles, leadership principles. They talk about power. They talk about influence. But there are very few universities or institutions that have a class on how to develop character, how to protect character, how to use character to influence the world. And if you study history, all great true leaders in history never wanted to be leaders. Their character became so strong that they had what I call moral force.
Yes.
like people like Nelson Mandela, people like Mahatma Gandhi, people like Mother Teresa, people like Martin Luther King Jr. These are kind of 20th century leaders. But if you think about them, what made them so influential was not their power. I had the privilege of meeting Mr. Mandela personally. Yes. I'll never forget my first encounter with him at a private dinner. I was shocked. This man was very simple. He spoke very softly. His personality was nothing to be impressed with. But when he walked into the room, the whole room stopped. Mm. And I think it's because his character was bigger than his charisma. Mm. And we should never confuse charisma with character. Charisma, it has to do with personality. Character has to do with a life. And this man, his life was bigger than his character, than his charisma, because he remained stable under pressure. And that's what character is. Character is living out your convictions without compromise. Mm. Character is making your values more important than your popularity.
Wow.
Character is believing in what you believe in more than what other people want you to believe to be accepted. Mm. And so he went to prison for his values. Mahatma Gandhi starved himself almost to death for his values. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed for his values. And when you study the biblical characters, they all had the same spirit of what I call fixed, being fixed.
Okay.
And so this book is about restoring that quality of leadership. You cannot pray for character. You cannot ask God to give you character. Character is built under pressure. When a person is pressured to compromise their convictions and they don't compromise them, character is developed. Mm. So character is really developed under tests and trials. And so many leaders today lack character because they are under the spirit of what I call conformity. Mm. And this is political leaders, it's religious leaders, it's corporate leaders, it's leaders in civic government. All these leaders seem to be crumbling under the pressure of what I call current affairs. The reason why they call it current affairs, because the affairs has a current. And when it hits you, if you have no character, you flow with the current. Mm. That's why the number one enemy of character, David, is compromise.
Wow.
Compromise is when you decide to sell your values and your convictions in order to be accepted by an environment. This is not leadership. All true leaders don't find something just to live for. They find something to die for.
Oh, wow.
And that's where character is beginning to be built. Character is developed under pressure. In this book, David, I talk about two leaders. And of course, the book is filled with many examples of contemporary leaders who failed. But in this book, I also talk about the two leaders that, to me, epitomize character. One I call Joe, the other I call Sam.
Okay.
And these are two real men. Joe was not physically strong. He didn't have muscles. He was not a physical specimen with power. He didn't have physical power. The other man named Sam. Sam was a physical specimen. He was powerful physically. He could lift pounds of weight. These two men seemed to be so different. Joe didn't have physical strength, but he had strength of conviction. Mm. Sam had physical strength, but didn't have conviction. Who were these two men? One is called Joseph. The other is called Samson. Your character is tested under pressure.
Amen.
You are who you really are when you are under pressure. That's why there's a difference between your reputation and your character. Joseph stood up under pressure to the point where he even ran from a situation. He fled to the point where he ran naked to protect his conviction, his values. Samson collapsed under the same pressure and sold his entire future for a moment of pleasure. So Samson had physical strength, but no character. Joseph had no physical strength, but he had character. Which one of these men will history hold up as an example? It's Joseph. Mm. So I speak to every leader today watching this program. You need to decide whether you would go for charisma or character, whether you'd go for personality or passion, whether you would go for being famous or being faithful. This book is about bringing back to leadership. Mm. the most important foundation of leadership, and that is character. Because without character, power will destroy. What protects people in leadership is not their power, nor their position, nor their title. It's their character. And your leadership is only as safe as your character.
Mm.
In this book, I also talk about what to do if you fail in your character. Many leaders have fallen. You know, religious leaders have fallen, corporate leaders have fallen, political leaders have fallen. I mean, immorality seems to be sweeping the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know what's amazing, David? Once you lose your character, people don't forgive you.
Mm.
They don't forget.
No.
You know, I think about leaders like the former president of the United States, Bill Clinton. He has a man who had great skill in office, but didn't have great skill in his private life. You know, and he succumbed to immorality. Today, we still remember him as a man who was a victim of a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how great he may have been.
That's true.
And so, you know, I think of people like Abraham Lincoln in comparison. Abraham Lincoln was killed because of his conviction that he refused to change. He went against his own political party because he didn't believe in slavery.
Hmm.
And his party turned on him, but he refused to submit to them. I think this is the kind of leadership we need.
Amen.
And when I met with Nelson Mandela some years ago, I asked him, I said, how did you stay in prison? 18 years on an island, cracking rocks. An additional 8 years in under house arrest. How did you survive? He said, because I believed what I believed.
Mm.
And this is what character is. Character is, look, my convictions are so strong that I'm willing to die for them. So we need true leaders to emerge again. Let me define leadership. Leadership is the capacity to influence others through inspiration, motivated by a passion, produced by a vision, which comes from a sense of purpose. The most important word in that sentence is the word conviction.
Amen.
Because where there is no conviction, there's no leadership. Leaders are people who have such a deep conviction about what they believe to be right and proper that they're willing to die for it. So leaders don't find something to live for. They find something to die for. Wow. And to me, that is the foundation of character.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this. So having a great character means you have to have some great courage.
Well, character produces courage.
Amen.
Matter of fact, courage is simply an element of character that is manifested because of your conviction. In other words, if I believe that I could jump over that wall, if I believe that, then that conviction forces me to attempt it.
Mm.
Courage is standing in the face of opposition,
wow,
in the face of challenges. This is why every leader, male or female, who is a person of character, they actually use fear as a motivation.
Yes, yes.
That's important.
Yeah.
And fear is the birth source of courage.
Mm.
You cannot have courage without fear being present. Matter of fact, fear is good because it produces courage. You cannot be courageous unless you are afraid.
Mm.
So all leaders are people who say, look, my convictions are so deep about something that even though I'm afraid of what might happen to me, I am willing to step out courageously and pay that price.
Amen.
I think of people again like Nelson Mandela. When I spoke with him in person, my second visit with him, I asked him, how did you stand up under all the pressure? He said, many times the government of South Africa came to visit me. They sent their representatives and they came personally and they said, if you stop agitating for change, if you stop wanting to dismantle apartheid in our government, if you just behave yourself, we'll give you a house, cars, private security,
wow,
we'll give you money, anything you need, just don't do this to us. And they said, the prison door is open, you can walk out. Mr. Mandela says he got up from his stone bench in that prison, walked to the door, opened the door, and told the men to leave. He shut the door back. He says, lock it. He said, until my people are free, I have no right to be free.
Wow.
This is character.
Mm.
How many pastors are selling themselves on the altar of trying to be accepted by the by the norm?
That's very
true. How many politicians are willing to compromise their personal beliefs, their personal convictions for popular vote?
Yes.
These people have no character. These are not leaders.
Yep.
These are characters.
Yeah, you mentioned that last night. And before we close, I want you to share about that, about the Greek word for actor.
Yeah, very important. You know, in this book I talk about it. When a person doesn't have character, the word you use to describe that person is hypocrite. This word hypocrite is a Greek word. invented by the Greeks. And it actually, we pronounce it as hypocrite today, mm-hmm. but it is hypocrite. And hypocrite is a very interesting word. The Greeks were the first ones to create the what we call drama. They're the ones who really, you know, developed this whole idea of plays.
Okay.
They were the first Hollywood kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is over, you know, about 2,500 years ago. And the Greeks would develop these theaters. And what was unique about the Greeks was that whenever they put on a play, they would usually only use one actor, one person. But that person had many different masks that they would use. And they would come on the stage and they would, you know, be a personality or a character. Then the same person would go off the stage, come back with a different mask, and they'd answer the first character that they had on their face. They'd go back again, use a third mask, and answer the first two characters. So there's one person acting as six or seven people. The Greeks called that person a hypocrite. Hypocrite means actor. An actor is somebody who puts on a face that is not theirs.
Wow.
This is the word that Jesus used when he talked about religious leaders. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you religious leaders are hypocrites. Now remember, Jesus Christ lived in the era where the Greeks were still very influential in the Roman Empire. So he knew. He was referring to those plays. He says, you guys are professional actors. You keep changing your face. On Sunday, you are one person. On Monday, you're a different person. On Tuesday, you're a different person. In other words, we don't know who you are. But character is different. A person with character is the person who's the same all the time.
Mm.
That's why the word character means to be fixed, predictable. It means to be like a statue. Matter of fact, the word character actually means statue. A statue that's in your city, made of stone or metal, it doesn't change. When the weather's hot, it's still the same. When the weather's cold, it's still the same. When it's raining, it's still the same. That's a person of character. So character is measured by what you do under pressure. And David, we need to restore this to leadership.
Amen.
This book has already been sold out twice.
Amen.
And now it's being distributed all over the world. It's in Spanish, it's in French, it's in Portuguese. And we are amazed that I spoke to a hotel management program in the Bahamas just before I came here. And they ordered 100 copies of these. Because when I finished the session, the manager says, every worker in this hotel must read this. If we can restore character to our staff, we will have an entire different organization.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because you have people who are predictable, people who are fair, who are just, people who are stable, and those who don't wear many faces. So my question is, what do you do when no one is watching? What do you do in the night when you are alone? Do you change? What do you do in secret when you are negotiating a deal with an investor and no one is around? What do you do when you have an invoice that you could pad the invoice and you could make more money? What do you do if you could tell a lie and get a promotion? See, character is always tested by temptation.
Amen.
When you talk about temptation, temptation is simply a test of your character. When you yield to a temptation, it's because you failed in character. So I encourage every leader, whether you are a parent, a father or mother with children, or whether you are a business leader or a politician, whether you are a pastor, a priest, or a pope, whether you are a head of state or the head of an organization. My question is this. Are you a person of many masks? Or are you the same in the night as you are in the day? Are you the same on the stage as you are in the audience? Are you the same when you are performing or when you are in personal, private life? This is a question of character.
Amen. And to get his book, you can go online to characterinleadership.com. That's characterinleadership.com. Thank you so much for being
David,
a guest.
David, I love you and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
Amen.
And remain stable. Stay faithful to your convictions.
Amen.
Don't compromise your life.
I agree.
And I guarantee you, I'll see you at the top.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Midwatch with Reb with your host, David Yanez. We pray that you continually tune in to get blessed and for God to do something amazing in your life. Visit us online at davidyanezministries.com or write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. God bless you, and thank you for listening to our broadcast.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, are its hosts.